This recording, Missouri 6, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was in kindergarten, and it was, like, the first week of school, and I went out to recess, and I just sat down to play a game with one of my friends, and then these really two mean boys in kindergarten, like, dragged me over to the flagpole and tied me to the flagpole with some jump ropes, and I was stuck there till the end of recess, and my teacher had to come untie me. And that was not fun. My mom's a nurse. She works on the surgical floor at St. Luke's Hospital in St. Louis, and she works nights. And then I don't have a dad. I go out with my friends. I go to parties, go to concerts, go shopping, stuff like that. Well, I woke up and I made a cup of coffee and came to school at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had a flute sectional. And then first hour, I watched The Great Dictator, which was okay. Second hour, I had keyboarding. It's kind of boring. And third hour was choir, which was cool because it's just fun. And fourth hour was advanced composition, and we had discussion day. So we just debated on some different stuff. So we debated on should parents stay together in a divorce for the children, or would it be better if they just divorced to save, or would it be better? So, and then over should lyrics and music and song or music be handled by the government, or who should it be handled by, or how should it be handled, like the explicit lyrics and things like that. So I think that explicit lyrics in songs, like they brought up Eminem as an example, I think that that should be regulated by, if not by the writer, by the record company or the government or somebody.